Good afternoon to all of you. Very good to see everyone. And good afternoon to everyone on the webcast. Very good to have you. And those who will watch this later, we hope it's meaningful for you. Split sermon format. I need to get into a topic very quickly here. So in the way of introduction, I will explain to you what led to the selection of the topic that I will define shortly. This came from a few conversations that I've had recently, along with some discussion very recently at the pastor's conference that we were called to over in southeast Minnesota. The proper respect for the Sabbath day. Now, I'm going to narrow that up here in a bit, but the proper respect for the Sabbath day, I believe, needs frequent emphasis. And it's been a while since I have spoken about it. We must never forget why we're here on this day, why we're here in a service. We must respect that. Beyond that, we need to embrace it. Love it, I might say, and cherish it. So the key focus of this split sermon is to encourage and to exhort, to prod a little, if I could put it that way, all of us to come before God in the right way at His holy convocation or His Sabbath service. Matter of fact, the title I have at the top of my notes is Coming Before God at His Holy Convocation. But I want to lay a little background. I only have three primary points, and the first point is, in order to be here today, in a proper way of respect to God, preparation begins the day before, particularly as evening comes. You hear us sometimes talk about the preparation day. Where do we get that? Well, it appears at least four times. I didn't count them, but I do know from personal study at least four times in the Bible. But I'm going to turn to Mark chapter 15. Mark, in many ways, wrote more succinctly than the other gospel writers. And I want to read with you just to prove why we say what we do about preparing. In Mark 15, if you're there, begin in verse 42. Verse 42 says, Now when evening had come, because it was the preparation day, that is, the day before the Sabbath. And then it goes on. Now this, of course, was occurring in the late afternoon going into evening after Christ had been crucified. And Joseph of Arimathea, if you're reading ahead of me, goes to ask for the body of Christ. Now that's not important to the sermon, but this key point is there is a preparation day and we need to be mindful of that. Every week as the sixth day comes and especially as it winds down. I want to go back to Nehemiah. I have a reason for turning here. Nehemiah, the great reformer and a great man of God. Nehemiah, a man who had to deal with a lot of trouble, if I could simply put it that way, in Israel, actually in Judah in his day. In Nehemiah, the very last chapter of the book, chapter 13, I want to go over just briefly with you something here, and I want to draw a lesson from it. Nehemiah 13, verse 15. In verse 15, as we have it translated into English, it says, In those days, I saw people in Judah treading wine presses. Not just drinking some wine, which would have not have been wrong, but treading wine presses on the Sabbath and bringing in sheaves. Now, Christ's disciples were taken to task later for passing through a field and just stripping off some heads of grain and shelling it out in their hands to eat it. And of course, he's strongly defended that. But what are we talking about here? Bringing in sheaves. This is moving grain in that era in quantity. Continuing, and loading donkeys with wine, grapes, figs, and all kinds of burdens. This is routine business. Continuing, which they brought into Jerusalem on the Sabbath day, and I warned them about the day in which they were selling provisions. I don't have a lot of time to dwell on this, but there's so much in this. Why am I going through it, at least briefly? I'll quickly read on, verse 16, men of Tyre dwelt there also, foreigners who brought in fish and all kinds of goods and sold them on the Sabbath to the children of Judah and in Jerusalem. In other words, they're grocery shopping, if you will, on the Sabbath. He contended with them, verse 17, with the nobles or the leaders of Judah. He said, what evil thing is this that you do by which you profane the Sabbath day? Didn't our fathers do this? And did not our God bring all this disaster on us and on this city? Yet you bring added wrath on Israel by profaning the Sabbath. And then here's what he did, verse 19. So it was at the gates of Jerusalem as it began to be dark before the Sabbath. This is this preparation day. I commanded the gates to be shut and charged that they must not be opened till after the Sabbath. And he posts men out there to make sure that that happens. And some of these merchants persisted for a couple of more Sabbaths. And he warned them, you keep doing this, I'll lay hands on you. The reason I went through this quickly, Nehemiah commanded a shutdown of business as the Sabbath was approaching. And I want to ask you pointedly, if I could use the analogy, do you close your gates as the Sabbath approaches? And now I'll explain why I'm referencing this at the beginning of the sermon. I have seen this over and over again, my friends. When people rush into the Sabbath, or worse yet, hedge a little and work somewhat into the Sabbath, you're beginning wrong, if I could put it that way, because I just proved it here. But beyond that, you're not going to be ready the next day. And again, I've seen this. I was thinking of this last night because, of course, this is not a last-minute sermon. I had been working on this for some time. So I was especially conscious yesterday. Sundown's pretty early, isn't it? Up here in the northern hemisphere this time of the year, this far north. So I began to shut down about 4. And about sundown, I walked out across our yard. Now, it depends on what your circumstances are, but for me, the 6 days of work are done. That waxing crescent moon in the south-southwest, oh, it was peaceful. Just so nice to be out there with the work week finished. Now again, it depends on circumstances. I realize some of you wouldn't have quite the same opportunity to do the same thing, but we have folks in nursing homes, for example. What I describe would not be possible. Yet, there is a requirement to shut down, if you will. What you do, what you think about for 6 days and enter into the Sabbath, properly. I'll build on this just a little bit more. Dr. Ward once stated, and I never forgot this, he would put on soft, soothing music as the Sabbath began. That's something you can do no matter where you are, or at least in most circumstances. It's just one thing, but entering into the Sabbath correctly. Genesis 2, let's never forget again where this Sabbath originated. Genesis chapter 2, in the very first verse, Genesis 2, verse 1, thus the heavens and the earth and all the host of them were finished, and on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had done. Obviously, you know, running up to the seventh day, he had finished all the work which he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had done. And what is critically important, the next verse, verse 3, God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it. He set it apart for a very special purpose, because in it he rested from all his work which he had created and made. Here is the origin of the Sabbath. Now I want to move to the next point. Be mindful of who we are coming before at this holy convocation. We can too easily slip into a mindset as a Sabbath, the Sabbath is coming, it's here. Saturday mornings or Sabbath morning. When is church? You know, we need to get to church, and yes, we do. But I have friends and neighbors who go to church, and many who don't, but, you know, in a sense, it's the same commitment, but only in that there's a certain time they need to be in a certain place. But I want to remind you in Leviticus 23, be mindful of who we are coming before this holy convocation. Leviticus 23. Leviticus chapter 23, some of you, many of you perhaps could quote this, and that's good. It's very good to have these things locked in your mind. Critical doctrine here. But who are we coming before here today? If you're in Leviticus 23, I'll begin in the very first verse. Verse 1 says, the Lord spoke to Moses, and here's what he said. Verse 2, speak to the children of Israel and say to them, the feasts of the Lord, which you shall proclaim to be holy convocations, these are my feasts. I want to emphasize two things in verse 2. Holy convocations. In simplest terms, a holy convocation is a commanded religious assembly. Now, you could broaden the definition, but a holy convocation, in simplest terms, I'll repeat that, is a commanded religious assembly. And then the other phrase I want to dwell on, these are my feasts. Moedim in the Hebrew. That means a fixed time or appointment. So we are at a commanded religious assembly here, and it is a fixed appointment. With whom? Well, these are my feasts. And then verse 2, the very first one. Now, Leviticus 23 covers all of the holy days and all of the feasts, but the first one mentioned in verse 3 is, 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of solemn rest, a holy convocation. And then the reminder that we've already talked about, you don't do any work on it It's the Sabbath of the Lord in all of your dwellings. I want to quickly turn to Hebrews 10. Some of you, I think, might quickly know what I'm going to read with you there, but in Hebrews chapter 10, we have the command, and I want to give this again as a reminder. Be mindful. Who are we coming before here? And expanding a little bit. In Hebrews 10, if you're there, verse 24, let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. And then verse 25, to complete the sentence, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more, or so much the more, as you see the day approaching. That's obviously the day of the Lord. The day of the Lord is approaching. This was important right from the beginning, but it is more important than ever right now. But again, don't forsake the assembly that is commanded by God. That's who we're coming before. In Exodus chapter 3, and again, I have a reason for turning here. Exodus chapter 3. I'll comment a little bit after reading a short scriptural reference here. We're going to be talking about Moses. Moses, in that period of time, when he had fled out of Egypt, and he's a herdsman, if you will, or a shepherd, working for his father-in-law, Jethro. And he takes the herd, it says, to the back of the desert. He's out there by himself. And he sees this burning bush. I don't have time to read it all. But he turns to see what is going on here. Because you remember what happened? It burned and it burned, but it was never consumed. Verse 4 of Exodus 3. Verse 4, when the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, he called to him from the midst of the bush, and he said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here I am. And then he said, do not draw near this place. In other words, don't come right up here. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground. Why was it holy, this little place out in the desert? Because the Lord God himself was there and had caused this bush to burn and not be consumed, which is miraculous in itself. But the reason I'm referencing this, you're on holy ground. And then he says, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And notice Moses' reaction. He hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. He knew he was in God's presence. Who are we coming before today? These are my feasts, the Lord God said. Now, I know we're meeting here in a Legion Hall in Brookings, South Dakota. Maybe this doesn't seem like a very holy place. They hold the primary function. They hold Legion meetings here. My father used to, well, never heard him comment but once or twice about Legion meetings, but he wasn't too high on some of the things that happened at Legion meetings as the guys got together. But today, it's the place that God has provided for you and I to meet in a holy convocation, in a commanded religious assembly. I want you to see it that way. We're coming before God at his holy convocation. And again, as I was preparing, a story popped into my mind. I have a penchant for remembering these things, particularly if they have a real point. I don't think it would hurt to define who the man was. a longtime pastor in the Church of God, now deceased, but a gentleman named Bob Fay. This story was related to me by a man who had trained under him. But as the story goes, a man came forward to offer an opening prayer, as we always do. And maybe you've heard this story before. I don't tell it with any frequency, but the man, in part of his opening prayer, asked God to join us here at our Sabbath service. If you knew Mr. Fay, always alert, always on top of his game, at least I never saw him when he wasn't. He said nothing at the moment, nor during announcements, nor during the sermon, but after the service, he got hold of that man by the arm and said, "I don't want you to ever express the idea that we're asking God to come and be here at our service. This is the holy convocation that he has called, and we're coming before him. And you can ask God to open our minds, give us understanding." But the man was soundly corrected. Who are we coming before today? In a sense, it's a little bit of holy ground right here, because the Lord God called you and I here, again, I don't want to beat this to death, but to his commanded assembly. Now I want to quickly move to the third point, most important. We need to come spiritually prepared. Spiritually prepared. I want to go back to Ecclesiastes. I know I'm turning to some scriptures we might not frequently use, but in Ecclesiastes chapter 5, here in the wisdom literature in the Bible, I want to make a point primarily in one verse, but I'll read a little more in Ecclesiastes chapter 5. Ecclesiastes 5, if you're there. First verse. Verse 1 says, "Walk prudently when you go to the house of God, and draw near to hear rather than to give the sacrifice of fools, for they do not know that they do evil." We have come here today again before God. Weekly, week in and week out, we do this. Walk prudently or circumspectly when we come in here. Draw near to hear. That is the primary reason we are here. To hear the word of God. Rather than, what's the sacrifice of fools here in context? Well, in context, in verse 2, don't be rash with your mouth, and let not your heart utter anything hastily before God, for he is in heaven and you on earth. Therefore, let your words be few. To be spiritually prepared, as we come in weekly to the Sabbath service, we need to primarily be here to hear. Now, I don't want everyone to walk around in silence after the service. And of course, at that point, the holy convocation is over, but still, we're meeting together in fellowship. But we need to come prepared spiritually to hear. To be taught. Now we study our Bibles frequently, hopefully daily. I understand that, and indeed we should. And through that, you know, we're also taking in the Word of God. But this is the special time of instruction each Sabbath. So again, draw near, come in here to God's holy convocation, first and foremost to hear and to learn. And when you do that, it's the weekly boost. I've often been somewhat amused. I'll get feedback from people on the same sermon in the same location. It happened at the feast. I wasn't speaking that day, but happened at the feast just this year. One person told me, I didn't get much out of that. I thought, well, it's interesting. I thought it was quite a solid sermon. Another person came. And the conversation was not, evaluating the sermon, but another person inside of about 10 minutes said, oh, that was a wonderful sermon. I got so much out of that. They listened to the same man in the same place. I could only surmise, and I didn't actually, in one case, I didn't know the person real well, but I could only surmise, one drew near to hear and got a lot out of it. The other person did not. The sacrifice of fools. I want to tie this word sacrifice just a little bit. Malachi 1 and verse 8. Very last book of the Old Testament. Malachi chapter 1 verse 8. Are you here prepared to give a sacrifice? Now, we do not, as you all know, practice the ritual laws of sacrifices. We know that. But I want you to think about a principle here. If you're in Malachi chapter 1, verse 6, a son honors his father and a servant his master. If then I am the father, where is my honor? And if I am a master, where is my reverence? Says the Lord of hosts to you priests who despise my name. And yet, and he goes on and he takes them to task. It has to do with physical sacrifice, but there's a lesson here. Verse 8, when you offer the blind as a sacrifice, is it not evil? And when you offer the lame and the sick, is it not evil? Offer it then to your governor. Would he be pleased with you? Would he accept you favorably, says the Lord of hosts? Let me tie this together. Now, I know this is speaking of the ritual sacrifices, the literal sacrifice of animals. But God wants a sacrifice from us, day in and day out, but particularly here. Psalms 51. This has a lot to do with, again, being spiritually prepared as we come here on the Sabbath. In Psalms 51, David was doing a lot of soul searching in this psalm, in Psalm 51. Because David himself had strayed far from God and had made a big mistake. And he penned this psalm as he was trying to get himself back into the right frame of mind before God. Getting back into a much better spiritual state. In Psalms 51, now, being spiritually prepared to come here, we could say the same thing as he said in verse 10. Psalm 51:10, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. If we come particularly at a Sabbath service with that attitude, I know God will reward us with the request that David made, and we could ask the same. Verse 12, restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me by your generous spirit. But brethren, the 6 days of work can get long, can get arduous, or 6 days in school, or wherever you might find yourself in the six-day work week. It can wear us down. This is a great time to come spiritually prepared. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. To get refocused. Now David says something interesting in verse 16. For you do not desire sacrifice, or else I would give it. It's interesting what he understood. David, of course, is living in the time of the old covenant, and when sacrifices were yet required. But David had the Spirit of God. We know that from other scripture. And David understood what God really wants. Again, you don't desire sacrifice, or else I would give it. You do not delight in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, or a humble spirit. A broken and a contrite heart. These, O God, you will not despise. And the reason I'm referencing this, to come spiritually prepared for God's weekly holy convocation, we need to offer this sacrifice. Verse 17 again, the sacrifices of God. New covenant sacrifices. This humility, not the arrogance, but rather the broken spirit, a contrite heart. And then God's going to add to so much, I think, our desire to learn and to grow. Let's go back to Job chapter 6. Job chapter 6. This is early on in the time in which Job is doing a lot of deep reflection and soul searching after God had allowed Satan to punish him severely. And after one of his three friends who were there initially were not helping him much, were only making him feel worse. But I want to make a point in only one verse in Job chapter 6. And that point is in verse 24. Verse 24. This has a lot to do with being spiritually prepared each week for a Sabbath service. Verse 24 says, teach me, and I will hold my tongue. Cause me to understand wherein I have erred. I copied into my notes the New Living Translation of that verse. It says simply, teach me and I will keep quiet. Show me what I have done wrong. That's in part the purpose of coming before God. Now, there's a time, and we try to do that as ministers and speakers as well, for encouragement, to help lift people up too, but and we should, but again, to be spiritually prepared. This one verse is so poignant. Teach me. I'm going to be quiet. Help me to understand where I've gone wrong. If we ever lose that attitude, we're not in good standing with God. And it's so extremely helpful again to remember that when we come to church. Psalms 19. Psalms 19. This is one lofty goal. But in Psalms 119, longest chapter of the Bible, read with me, please, verse 131. Psalms 119, 131. I opened my mouth and panted, for I longed for your commandments. And I thought about that. Now, so often I have to speak. But there are, you know, times, especially during sermonette, when I also must be taught. And I thought about this, and I thought, where's one poignant verse that would give some encouragement and some real direction as we close? And this one jumped out at me, and I'll reread it. I opened my mouth and panted. Oh, you know, give me instruction. Give me encouragement. Give me direction, for I long for your commandments. I must close. Brethren, remember 3 points. How we start the Sabbath will have an impact on how we come to the Sabbath service the next day. It always does. 2, remember who called this assembly. Who are we coming before? Now granted, Mr. Lamore scheduled this, but who are we really coming before? We are coming before God. It is His commanded holy assembly. And 3, come spiritually prepared with a humble, teachable attitude, hungry for the Word of God. And if we do those things, God is going to reward us. I know He will. I hope this helps you refocus on preparing for the Sabbath service each week.